welcome in. I'm Doug Gottlieb, and this is All Ball. All basketball, all the time. And we really appreciate you downloading. The numbers have just exploded recently, and we'll continue to bring you guests that I think you'll really, really like. And this week is no different. Obviously, we had Rick Bird earlier in the week, and Rick is an outstanding coach. He's going to be in the College Basketball Hall of Fame. Kind of his career arc and story and how he built Belmont from a little known NAIA club that was the second best NAIA school in the city of Nashville to an elite mid-major Division I program. I think you're going to want to listen. I've been watching a lot of these college basketball teams. I do need to give you some like a breakdown pod and things that are interesting. Jason Preston is our guest this week or in this episode. By the way, you downloaded already. Could you subscribe, rate, write a review? I'm told that somehow helps me financially. And really, that's what this is about. Making your boy some more money. No, seriously, though, this is a pod. There's some great things on the horizon, but you write those reviews and I guess it just works for us in the business world. I don't really know. And then tell if you have a friend who's a basketball hoops fan. My brother drives 12 hours on, a week as he's an assistant coach now, or he's on staff at Grand Canyon University. And he's like, dude, he's like throwing out suggestions, get this guy, that guy, especially this holiday season, a long drive, a short drive, whatever. Tell your boys to download this stuff. We have great stories and I try to get great storytellers for those stories. Jason Preston is an unbelievable story. Kid averaged two points per game his senior year in high school. He started one game, one. He's in his third year at Ohio U. He's averaging 21 a game. He got to start his entire, sophomore season, some his freshman season as well. How do you go from not starting in high school, except for senior night, to averaging 21 a game? That's crazy. He's going to join us. I want to quickly go give you some thoughts here on this athletic, the story that's coming out of LA with kind of the dissection of what went wrong with the Clippers. The entitlement that was granted to Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. Paul George saying, that I was used the wrong way, like Ray Allen coming off of pin downs, and then other teammates complaining that Paul George and Kawhi Leonard could call off practices, that they had their own security. It sounds like a lot of jealousy, right? And what's fascinating about this thing is that if you're going to complain about a two-time finals MVP getting special treatment, like that's called in the basketball world being a bitch, right? And the thing about the Clippers is they talked about everybody else like everybody else was a world of bitches. And they were apparently themselves all this infighting and jealousy. So look, I want to make sure this is clear. I don't understand how the Clippers could have okayed, hey, yeah, Kawhi, you can live in San Diego, whatever you want. Like, no, you got to have some boundaries, some boundaries. And the San Diego thing, that's just too far. I mean, look, I live an hour from where I work or whatever. And it's an hour and a half with traffic. And that's far. There is no part of even the northern part of San Diego where he lives that is in any way close enough. Now, I'm guessing he probably has an apartment close or whatever, but it clearly ticked off enough people. And Tom Brady actually had this when he was in New England. He was at the peak of being Tom Brady. He was taking a helicopter out of Foxborough after every game, and guys got ticked, and they said something about it, and they nixed it after like a season or two of doing it. So stars are always going to push the envelope, and they'll get away with whatever you let them get away with. And believe it or not, players do, in fact, like discipline. And they see through things. And I think that it might have been different had either or both of those players grown up as Clippers, had the sweat equity there. They did not. So no matter how well respected they were, you come in from other places and you start, saying, this is how I want to do things. When the Clippers had established a culture and you start scratching your head, why would they change that culture and just relent in order to get Kawhi Leonard? If you get Kawhi Leonard, you get him because, hey, we're not the Lakers. It's your team. We got a character and culture of toughness. And this is how you got to fit into our team. Once you make those mistakes, and I'm guessing Ballmer's involved in that, then you acquiesce to too many of these desires. You're never going to get control of the team. And you have, you basically have two different kind of sects. You have the the superstars and everybody else, and that doesn't go over. It's not the reason that they lost, but it's a basis for a bad foundation, and it struck at the core of the culture that they had built. All right, let's get to college basketball, as we've had so much incredible competition. And as I told you in our last podcast, I think it's really, really important that we don't overvalue some of the results of these games, because, you know, teams are playing three games in 3 days, and many of them haven't played in a competitive game since last February. You know, you got young players obviously at a disadvantage on some level as opposed to older players. But I think a good portion of this, good portion of it, is teams are still trying to figure out what they have. Remember, there's no scrimmages. So saying that a team should or shouldn't be in the NCAA tournament based upon the result of a third game in 3 days is really, really hard. But the one thing we can see, and we see, is we discover new players. We discover new talent. Jason Preston is one of those guys that America is just now discovering. Jason Preston is a talented junior at Ohio University. He's 21 years old. He's 6'4". He's 187 pounds. He's added meat to his frame. And I saw he was playing against Illinois last week on the Big Ten Network, and he had 31 against Ayodesumo, who is a really talented NBA prospect guard for the Illini. The Illini won by a point, but Preston had, I think, 31 and 6, and really looked like the best player out in the court. He's a very good shooter. He's got good feel. He's got a good big body, and feels like a guy who's got a chance to be an NBA point guard. His story, though, was told in Big Ten Network. So all I did was retweet this story, and Twitter kind of exploded. Everyone likes an amazing story. And so instead of me telling it over and over again, or instead of you watching him play at Ohio U, which you can, I reached out and said, hey, can we have him on? And you know what? The folks at Ohio U said, Jason would love to come on. Here's my talk with him.
What's this been like for you? I mean, you know, it's one thing to play really well and to start earning respect in the basketball world. But when your story kind of takes off, and I want to get into it, but what's the last week been like for you?
It's been crazy. Definitely something that I've never experienced before. And it's definitely surreal. Very blessed to be here and everything that's going on right now.
All right, so you grew up in Jamaica. That's where you spent most of your childhood?
No, I grew up in Florida. My mom was born in Jamaica. And I would I go down.
So it's in Orlando, correct?
Yeah. I go down to
Jamaica. So your first memories of basketball are where and with who?
When I was 4 years old, I'd have like a little hoop in my house, and my mom and I, we'd watch basketball games together.
What was she like?
Great person, very caring, very selfless. She'd always put other people in front of herself, and just an amazing person.
What was it like when she got sick?
It definitely wasn't easy, and definitely didn't like to see her struggle, but knowing she's in a better place now and doesn't have to suffer like she did before is definitely comforting.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Did you know, I in terms of her letting you in, did she tell you right away? When did you know that she was really sick?
Actually, it was a couple months in. Like, that just goes to her, being selfless. You know, she didn't want me to feel bad for her or let it affect me in any type of way. So she kind of held it out for a couple months, but eventually she told me.
Did it affect you, like in terms of school and relationships and how you were around other people?
Maybe personally, but I tried not to let that affect other people. You know, I'd be pretty selfish of me, and, you know, especially for her, I didn't want to ever let her see me be down or anything like that, because that would be pretty selfish.
Who supported you most during that time? I mean, you have you and her, but who else was helping you? Because that's got to be a really tough time in your life.
My aunt, her sister, she would sometimes come down, and she'd really help her. Her son, my cousin, was also very supportive, and also her best friend would come over a lot, make her meals, help her.
Well, what's your best friend's name?
Barbara Whitaker.
And when she passed, now Barbara took you in right then, or were you with your aunt right after your mom passed?
Barbara's son took me in, and also my aunt's son, so my cousin. That's who I live with.
So you're 15 at this time?
Yes.
You're 15. You're bouncing from place to place. What were you like as a basketball player?
I was kind of really just a shooter, at least for my high school team. Sometimes when I go to LA Fitness, I could do some other things with the basketball, but like really playing for my high school team, I was really just a shooter.
So in high school, you're a late bloomer, right? At this time, you're 5'11", 6 feet tall. Is that about right?
Yeah.
And when we read, oh, we averaged 2 a game. Like, were you in the rotation, or were you the guy that people at the end of the game, you'd come in and you just try and get buckets because the game was over?
Nah, I wasn't really in the rotation. I never started, and I'd probably get about, I don't know, like 9 minutes a game. Yeah, some games I wouldn't.
You even never started a high school game once?
I started one game for senior night, but
senior. So you're the senior night guy, right? Yeah. How long did he leave you in on senior? That's the big thing. Is on senior night, like, is it one possession? Is it you got to play the quarter and you just balled out? Like, how long did you get to go on senior night?
I think I played a good amount on senior night. Probably 25 plus minutes in senior night.
Were you a good teammate? Like, I just full disclosure, right? Like, I went to a different high school because I wanted to play varsity as a freshman. I played some. And I'd like to think I was a good teammate, but I got to play all the time. It's really easy to be a good teammate when you're playing all the time. When you're not, and you clearly love basketball, and it's a connection you have with your mom going back to when you're 4 years old, were you a good teammate when you're down there in the bench and you weren't playing very much?
Yeah, I definitely tried to be, you know, like that selfless person. You know, it's bigger than me. And our team was pretty successful in my whole time in high school. We almost won a state championship multiple years. But yeah, I never tried to be deep down or anything like that. Like, all my teammates and I had a pretty good relationship too. It was good.
So your love for basketball, right? Because the one thing basketball will do is it will kick your butt, and it you love it a lot more than it loves you. Was there a moment, was there ever time there where you're like, man, this ain't my deal, right? I'm just going to do it through high school, and that's it. Was there a moment you're waving the white flag on hoop?
I don't know if I ever officially gave up on it. I just figured that I would need another option for it if things didn't work out. And that's when I was going to enter the journalism at UCF.
Yeah, so you're gonna go to UCF as just a student, right, and do intramurals. But then what happened?
Yeah, I actually was taking summer classes at UCF, and this was like late July, so the summer semester is almost over. And my friend asked me to come play in an AAU tournament, and I would have made like the fifth person. So like there would have only been 5 players, and everyone's playing 40 minutes. So I said, why not? I'll play.
Okay, so where's this tournament? What, do you remember the location?
It was 2 tournaments. One was in Georgia, and the other one was in Orlando at the Disney Wide World of Sports.
And you guys just had 5 dudes?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who was the coach?
Eduardo Palmales.
Okay, so you show up, but you guys get jersey? You got to bring your own jerseys. Just bring some black, bring some white. Give it the reverse.
We had jerseys, but I remember someone was wearing a shirt.
Wait. Somebody's what?
One of our teammates was just wearing a red shirt. We had red jerseys. Well, one of the five.
So you show up, red jerseys, looking all janky, right? Don't have any plays. Let's just go hoop. Yeah. You know, high balls. One high ball screen. Come get me. was Orlando first, or was Georgia first?
It was Georgia first.
All right. So you go. How'd you do?
Georgia was really well, really well. There were a lot of really good teams in that one. I think it was like a hoop sesh tournament. It was a really good tournament, and we played really well. Like, I think we were second in the like little tournament we were in, but like I said, there were a lot of really good teams. Yeah.
So, who's your buddy who asked you to play in the team?
Gabe Palomalo is the coach's son.
So the coach's son asked you to play. Was he good?
He actually was hurt, so he couldn't play. He was really just there.
So he's the star recruiter, right? And at this time, how tall are you? So you're done playing high school. You're 6 foot. Your senior year in high school. This is a couple months after high school. This is in the summer, right? So this is, you know, a couple months after high school is done. How big are you now?
I'm about 6'1", 6'1", 150.
So then you go back to Orlando. Now you're back home, okay, and you're playing at the Wide World. Did you play well that tournament too?
Yes, I did. We actually won that tournament. It was another good tournament too.
So you win it, and now what? Take me through how you got to the prep school.
So after one of my games there, UNC Asheville coach said we're all full for this year, but we recommend prep school to you so we can potentially offer you next year. That next game I play, I talk to a prep school coach, and then he convinces me to go down to his prep school.
What prep school?
He was going to take me to a prep school down in Florida, but then like a couple weeks later, he said he relocated to one in Tennessee that was better. It was called Believe Academy.
So you go to Believe Academy, right? And like, this is, you're all set to go to college. You're taking courses. Then some coach is like, yo, you want to come play here, but you got to go to prep school for next year. So, and you don't, what was your mom's best friend, and what was your aunt? What were they telling you you should do?
They were supporting me. You know, they kind of put it in my hands to make the decision. I want to say they were kind of leaning towards school, but at the same time, they allowed me to pursue my dreams.
Well, look, it's hard to believe though, right? Like if they watch you play in high school and you're kind of the scrub, right, in high school, and you're telling them like, no, listen, trust me, I can actually get a scholarship. Like, come on, yeah. Scholarship. And then, you know, then you're going to prep school in Florida. Like, no, we're going to prep school in Tennessee. It sounds like somebody's trying to get money from you. It sounds like one of those emails you get from a guy who's locked up in London and desperately needs you to send 10 grand. That's what it sounds like, doesn't it?
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. It does.
All right. So you show up at Believe Academy, right? So it's one of these kind of made up prep school deals. Mm-hmm. And there's four teams. Was there any other school, or was it just kind of four basketball teams?
No, it was like 60 to 70 kids that went there. And the other prep schools I knew, or I came to realize, only had like one other team. But this one had like 70 kids. So it was split up into like four different teams plus a high school team. 2 weeks into there, the guy who brought me there actually ended up leaving the prep school. And so none of the coaches that were there really knew anything about me.
So they put you on the D team to start, or the C team to start?
I was on the B team with him, but then once he left, I got bumped up to the A team. But like I said, no one really knew about me, so I didn't really play much on that team.
Where are you living at the time?
We all lived in like this little dorm. All 60 to 70 of us lived in this like one big building.
What was that like?
It was fun. I had like my two roommates who convinced me to come down to the C team with them. But it was really fun. A lot of bus rides, a lot of fun memories.
So you're just hanging out. Who are your two roommates?
Their names are Isaac Hill and JJ Romer.
So during this time, do these guys know, or do they? I mean, you know how guys are. Like, you're at prep school, they're all going to the league. I'm gonna go to Kentucky. Then I'm gonna go to the league. All right. Did any of them go like, hey, how good were you in high school? Did anyone know that you didn't play much in high school?
It's actually funny. One of the roommates, Isaac, he lived 15 minutes away from me. Like, he's from Orlando too. And the same guy that brought me there brought him there. And we had never seen each other before, and we lived 15 minutes away from each other. Now we're roommates at in Tennessee.
Okay, so how'd you put a mixtape together? How did it come to be where you put your highlight tape on Twitter?
So yeah, after I came down to the to C team with them, I was playing pretty well, and it's kind of late in the year. It's like near January. I'm like, I need to get some film for coaches. If I want to play basketball somewhere, I'm gonna need the coaches to be able to see something in me. So I asked the coach on one bus ride. It was like an 8-hour bus ride from wherever we were going back to Tennessee. And so I asked if I could get out of the film. I got it. So I'm just on this bus ride, screen recording all my clips. I get all my clips put together, and then I send it over to my other friend back home. He puts it together in like a mix. After he does that, he sends it back to me. The Believe Prep Academy Twitter page posts it, and then I get a DM from both Ohio and Longwood.
So you get a DM. How long? How late? How much? How long was it before it was posted and you got a DM?
It was probably like 2 days. And the DM happened one day after it was posted. The DMs.
At any point in time, so you played for a guy, David Martinson, right? At Boone, like you said, good high school program. At any point in time, did your coach, you make any contact with him, like about like, hey, I'm at a prep school, I might go play Division I. Like, this is a guy who you weren't playing much for. Was there any relationship there, which he was almost surprised at your success?
No, I haven't really talked much with him, to be honest. Sometimes, maybe like once or twice a year, I'll go down and play basketball in the school, and I'll say hi to him. But we really haven't talked much.
So now you talk to Ohio U. What was it about going up to Appalachia that was like, okay, I want to do this?
So I went on visits to both schools. It was a hard decision. I really liked the culture of Ohio. They're like the teammates and the guys around me, like Ben Vanderplas, who's still here. He was my host. I really vibed with him once I got here. And I thought it was a great fit for me, and I thought I could play the way I'd want to play here as well.
So you show up on campus, okay? What do you remember? What was it like?
This is after I'm committed here?
Yeah.
It was nice. The campus is really nice. Facilities are nice. It's nothing I've ever really seen.
I mean, again, are you like, first, how big were you last year when you first showed up?
I was 6'2", 161.
So you're still growing. You're still adding weight and adding muscle, like as this goes on. Did you feel like you belonged, right? Because there's this, you know, C team, B team, A team, prep school. You know, you go up, you got two offers. Like when you showed up on campus, you're like, oh, I got this. Or was there a process? Because a lot of guys, I mean, I remember I showed up and I had a really good high school career and I was really well regarded. And I felt like I belonged. Then we started playing. I was like, damn, these are men. This is a lot harder than I thought. What was it like for you when you first showed up?
You know, I was a little nervous about that at first, but things were pretty good for me to start. I remember coming into my visit, the coach telling me, you know, you'd get like backup point guard role, play about 15 minutes, possibly grow in over the years. But I ended up starting my first year. You know, things went pretty good that summer and that fall before the season.
Now, at what point in time did your teammates know you only started one game in high school, your college teammates?
When I first got here my summer, I didn't really talk to anybody, to be honest. I was kind of very focused, kind of isolated. I guess towards the end of summer, you know, team bonding kind of went on, and that's when I started to tell people.
And they were like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. The, that was the common reception.
What was your first winter like?
Winter? Oh, that was something else. I mean, I got a little bit of a taste of it because I lived in Tennessee, and it would snow there sometimes. The lowest it would get was probably like 10 degrees, which is similar to here. So I had kind of experienced it before, but it wasn't
but cold and gray every day in the Midwest is very, very different than what you're accustomed to.
No. Yeah. It definitely took some adjusting too, but you know, now it's fine. It's fine.
Your game. And I'm friends with Rashad Phillips. We played against each other. We played at the same time in college. Obviously, he's kind of a legend in Orlando. He works with guys. And he was the one who first pointed you out to me going back a couple months ago. But it's not just that you've grown and you've added muscle. Like, your game has evolved. As you said, when you're high school, you're just a shooter. Now you're a point guard, kind of does everything. Scoring point kind of does everything. Take me through, like, in terms of work. Are you always an individual workout guy? Do you get in the gym and you just shoot and work on your game? Or are you just, I want to go play and I just play all day?
Kind of both of the last ones. Me and my best friend, Kobe, we'd always go down to the gym. This is in high school. And, you know, just play a lot of one-on-one. Watch a lot of film and a lot of guys. Like, I watch a lot of LeBron James. Watch a lot of Chris Paul. Like, those two guys. I've really studied both of their games heavily. And then obviously
they have two of the weirdest step backs, right? Like, LeBron's got that weird kind of step to the side, step back. You got to break that out. If you really study LeBron, you got to have can you make the LeBron sidestep weird step back thing? You know what I'm talking about, right? That yeah. Shot he shoots from three.
Yeah. I probably did it once last year.
You got to break that. You got to break that out, and then get the clip, and then screenshot it on the bus the same way you blew up, and then send it to LeBron. And be like, look, I have been studying your game, and then Chris Paul, like, he only shoots going right, literally only, but you can't stop it. There's, it's just crazy how you can't stop the fact that you know he's going right. So one of the things that fascinates me about you is that you do have good feel for game situations, end of games. So it's not that you didn't play growing up. Obviously, you played that Tennessee, you played that that elite team, you played in tournaments, but not having played in big moments in high school, the prep school games don't always mean nearly as much. How have you been able to kind of assimilate to real game situations, time, score, possession, shot clock, and things like that while playing in college?
I might not have played in a bunch of games like that, but like I said, I've watched for years and years and years a lot of close games, time and clock management, a lot of high IQ plays from, you know, Chris and LeBron, and it's just something that I look at and see that I can emulate.
You mentioned your friend Kobe. Where is he now?
He's down in Florida right now. He's looking to find a school for himself right now too.
So what is your relationship like with him since kind of you've blown up and you become this kind of megastar? He's like, that's my boy. We used to shoot in the gym in high school. I knew it all along.
Oh, nothing's really changed. You know, I still talk to him like every day. Yeah, he actually went viral one time in high school himself. So it's nothing's changed. Nothing.
Okay. So. Then this is what's crazy though, right? Like, you've gone viral, you've blown up, everybody knows you are, but there's nobody on campus. There's nobody to come up and be like, you know, I saw you on social media, right? So the good is everybody knows you are. The bad is, and it's not helping you as much with the ladies as it should be.
No, I actually have a girlfriend.
So she's probably happy for the social distancing of everybody else, right? Because it would have been a bunch of fingers. This team is very talented. What'd you learn from the Illinois game?
That if we stay consistent, you know, we can play with anyone in the country. You know, I was very proud of our guys. You know, we watched a lot of film, prior to the game. You know, it was the third game in 3 days, but we had been watching before, and especially after our first two games, we really made a game plan on attacking what they would do on ball screens and whatnot. And our guys executed great. DJ Wilson set great screens. Ben Vanderpoel was great on both ends. London McDay on defense. Miles Brown on defense. You know, it was a great effort, and we just got to stay consistent now.
I got a chance to coach Kofi in one of these Pangos deals, which is like they just go up and down, dunk on each other. Dude. And one, I really like him as a kid, but two, that is a grown ass man, right? That is a big. They don't have dudes like that in the MAC. Now, they may have used to have guys like that in the MAC, but yeah, they don't. Kofi Coburn, what was he like to play against?
Yeah, you're right. Everything you said is true. He's huge. He's huge. And it's crazy because I would say DJ, he held his own. You know, there'd be times where he'd be backing him down and DJ was chesting him up, walling him up strong. And it was impressive.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big human being. And I was like, man, I first saw him. He's like 16. I was like, no way. He showed me his driver's license. Like, okay. I'll buy it. I guess you are 16. That is a big dude. For you personally, what do you want to improve at? What do you want to get better at?
For this year, definitely want to cut down on my turnovers, and also shoot more off the dribble. Maybe get more threes up this year. Those two areas are something I really worked on.
What has the season been like with so much of the unknown? You know, and it's weird because, again, this kind of comes back to, I'm guessing prep school probably prepared you for it better than some other guys, more the traditional route, in that the 3 in 3 days, that's like an AAU tournament. Great. That's, you know, everybody makes it out to be so hard. That's better. I'd prefer to play as opposed to practice and have to play defense the whole time. But with all the unknown, with having to social distance from other students, with having to, you know, kind of just be, you know, be safe and be smart, what's this been like for you?
I mean, it's been an adjustment, but I don't mind it. Classes are going pretty well for me. You know, I got a nice little schedule going on. You don't see as many people, but that's fine. You know, you learn to adjust. I have my roommates that are on the team. Like I said, I have my girlfriend, and it's fine.
When people see your story, when they hear about your mom and how you kept going, when you hear about high school and you kept going, what does that come from? How do you relay to somebody else who's going through a tough time that there can be something better on the horizon?
I would say really just having faith, you know, trusting in God's plan and knowing that everything happens for a reason. If you can truly believe that everything happens for a reason, you know, you'll get through a lot.
But how, like the world was kicking your ass for a while, right? It was handing you ass whoopings. But I mean, in those moments where you're like, I my mom is everything I have. Like, how do you, it's great to say you have faith, but is it simply praying to God? Is it finding it within your soul? How does that work?
No. Yeah, it is, you know, and it goes a long way. And my mom would always tell me that, to just stay strong, keep praying to God, and everything will work itself out. And I'm telling you, if you truly believe it and your faith is strong, it can take you a long way.
Is it harder to make it, which you've done, or to sustain it, right? Because last year you got to start as a freshman out of nowhere. Now everybody knows who you are. Is it more difficult now when you're on top of people's scouting reports?
You know, I would always say it's harder to sustain. You know, it's kind of easy to be the underdog. You know, when it's more expected of you, I would say it's probably harder. In this scenario, I don't know. I don't really, like, look at it as pressure to keep performing. You know, I'm just trying to do whatever it takes to win each night.
Well, I can tell you from the people I know in Orlando and –
from kind of everybody who has followed the story, people are just amazed by your perseverance and by what you've done. And it does feel like it's only, you kind of only cracking the surface, right? Like you just, it's one of those, the more you watch, the more you're going to get better. And now you're getting that kind of scores confidence and almost a little arrogance where you just know it's going in, right? Does it feel different? Before you believed it, but now everybody in that bench believes it. Is that, that's got to be a little different deal.
Yeah, my teammates, they always tell me to keep shooting. They know I like to pass, but you know, they've instilled a lot of confidence in me, and it's awesome. Definitely looking to keep growing it this season.
How many shots a day?
I don't know a specific number, but before and after every practice for about 20 minutes each, I get up a lot of shots.
Well, listen, congrats on your success so far. I can't wait to see what's next from you, and really appreciate you joining us on the pod.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
It's pretty crazy stuff, right? And the demeanor, he did feel like he got a little emotional, obviously talking about his mom. I mean, who wouldn't? You're 15 years old. You lose your mom to breast cancer and you start, you know, living in multiple places. But to have that sort of belief in self, to never give up on your dream, even when, look, dude, you're going to college as a regular student, that's usually time when you should give up that idea. And then to go from that to being a recruited scholarship athlete, and from that to being a starter in college basketball so early in his career, the whole thing is nothing short of absolutely remarkable. Anyway, I hope you appreciated it. Hope you liked having play. We have players on, we have coaches on, we have NBA players on. Make sure you tell friends, you tweet it out, you download it, you subscribe it, you rate it, and you review it. And I really appreciate you listening to the Daily Radio Show. That's 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio or foxsportsradio.com, the iHeartRadio app. It's called the Doug Gottlieb Show. Thank you so much for downloading this. I'm Doug Gottlieb, and this is All Ball.